evening, everybody, and welcome to Hutton Orbital News. For this evening, the team are going to have to sit there and let me be in charge for a change. I'm Anna Arkey, and I'm here to bring a little order to things.
Good evening, Anne. Good night. Yes, great to have you with us this evening. I can't promise everyone's going to behave, but we'll try. I'm Rudolf Hucker, and joining me we have the man with his feet up.
Yep, it's me, Dick Chafing again.
And Norma's here, but Norma's really, really quiet, so we'll come back to Norma later.
And I'm Lou.
That's quite enough of that silliness. Now, it's time for the news. Please, would you just push that button there, if you'd be so kind?
Are you sure you're not related to Progenitor Wolf?
This is the Hutton Bite-Sized Bulletin, all the latest from in the galaxy, for those of us that are stuck out there in the rest of it.
This disappearances leave Hutton in danger of starvation.
The invasion of the Adjudicator has everyone quaking in their seats.
Bonus buttons get pilots in a twist.
Give peace a chance. The galaxy rolls the nice dice.
Locks lost as box blockage tossed.
There's a moose loose about this hoose. Mug accident investigation department called into Hutton.
Atrus 5060 is telling us whether he can make head or tail of the Thargoid menace this evening.
Costume failure as Commander Wotherspoon falls on his asp.
Lave in turmoil as it turns out that no one is actually in charge.
Lou's loose with the hot pit news.
And Norma's bringing us little tidbits from the CGs.
First tonight, a swathe of disappearances have hit Hutton Space following the update to ship systems on the 11th. Eager pilots wanting to put their name down in the annals of the orbital as the person to first probe each of our planets and discover all the sciencey things out there, put palm to the throttle and lifted back off into the black. Some, like Commander Graham MK, scanned the first thing he could set eyes on, which turns out to be Eden, and can now proudly proclaim it to be first discovered and scanned by him. Despite it being the first exoplanet ever visited by humanity. Other pilots soon began to discover that all was not well in the rest of our systems. Whilst the stations, orbitals and planetary bases all appeared to be intact, a number of rather critical facilities had gone missing. The civilian installation in Alpha Centauri, housing the administration offices of the Hot Pit team, mainly as they can't normally be bothered to go all the way to Hutton, have simply gone. Along with all the notes as to how political intrigue works in the galaxy. A second pilot reported seeing a signal for a survey megaship in the vicinity, which, as he approached, sped away at speeds that will see it reach the Andromeda Galaxy sometime in the next week, trailing canisters of items marked property of the Major General do not touch. At around the same time, one commander, eager to check on how his bio-waste-fed potato crop was doing, reported that the entire crop had vanished into thin air, along with the bio-waste, and the truly horrid smell. Our agricultural installation at YS0855-0714, home of the botanicals used for Centauri Megagen, as well as all the potatoes used for the strange reconstituted chips served in the bar, has mysteriously become absent. Reports from the rest of the galaxy state that Hutton's not alone. The Zuara, the Squiddle Bar, and both the anti-Xeno megaships appear to have also fallen off radar, and as of yet there are no clues as to where they've gone. Is this the Far God cult? Is it Thargoids? Or maybe the Alliance? Hutton has dispatched a crew to urgently find our Tatos. More news later on in the show.
A mysterious being known only as the Adjudicator has been seen throughout Hutton-occupied space, and even as far away as Beagle Point. This entity appears to be able to immobilize ships and render commanders impotent at will. This has left many a commander disappointed, not to mention the Hutton Widows Association, who are looking forward to a little energetic shore leave with their often absent partners slash husbands slash wives slash bit on the side. The only indicator that the Adjudicator has unleashed his fury on your systems is a symbol not seen since the days of alpha testing. Yes, a spinning orange ship in the middle of your screen. And the words,
"Please wait while we connect you to an operator. We appreciate your patience."
Followed by a hollow laughing sound. There have been rumours that occasional subliminal flashes of the words, "Give me your trash," have been seen on the screen between rotations, but we can neither confirm nor deny that the Adjudicator is the source of the most recent Mr. Dusty virus outbreak. Should anyone see the Adjudicator, we recommend that they do not approach it, as it's likely to be armed and extremely dangerous. Seek refuge in the bar, and make sure that you drink enough Centauri Megagin that you no longer care. Either that, or go to the Winchester until it all blows over.
From far Beagle Point to the heart of the Federation, pilots are up in arms as they realise that evolution has left them with too few fingers to actually pilot their ships. With a raft of new big buttons on their consoles to help with probing, scanning, tuning, zooming and booming, they've all been left fuming as finely tuned elite reflexes have been turned into frantic keyboard mashing, swearing and screaming as they fire off heatsinks instead of probes, fire on stations instead of docking and are generally causing chaos throughout the galaxy. The advice from the Pilots Federation is that everyone should have a go in their cockpit, salt lick, RTFM, and come back when they've had a nice time out. There is, however, a class of pilot that appears to have been able to use other appendages and their voices to take control of their ships, and it is these pilots that have been keeping everything safe while everyone else has gone back to flight school for remedial lessons.
For the first time in human history, or at least since that Christmas during World War II, everything's peaceful. Yes, not one faction is at war with anyone else. Even Tharg the Mighty and his little thuckers appear to have retreated from the bubble, and other than a few drunks at the bar swinging haymakers at each other over some long-forgotten family feud, it's all been a little hippie out there. There are rumours that the status quo will return in a matter of days, which is particularly impressive since they've been dead for over 1,200 years, but we understand that a revival of the In the Army now is due to land sometime ready for the weekend.
With the advent of improved planet surface communications, commanders from Team Hotbox were looking forward to improved PWP over recent days. But a spanner was thrown into the works when it turns out that station maintenance engineers, also known as grease monkeys, and not to be confused with tech monkeys who are an entirely different species, had forgotten to wire the Navlock black box up to pilots' consoles. So whilst you can get into wings, the wings keep running rings around things while failing to drop in. PvP groups are said to be up in arms, or they would be if they had their mates at interdictions, as ganking is now near impossible. Unfortunately, the Pilots Federation are due to release a fast fix for the bits and nix the bricks that connect the ships. We'll keep you posted as to when Hutton can finally get back to a little hungry hippo loading and more than a little teabagging.
Team Hotbox, for a while earlier in the week, the only ships that appear to have avoided the depredations of the Adjudicator, found themselves unwelcome at any of Alvin's starports. It turns out that a certain Commander Psychocow, having been left with the responsibility of all of the security certificates, had forgotten to renew theirs and left them all tagged as unaligned unwanted, unloved, and most definitely unallied with Alvin and his fluffy goodness. A short mutiny ensued, and Psychic Al was ejected from the nearest airlock in nothing but a Remlock and his undercrackers. He was recovered by sympathetic station staff, as it's a mistake anyone could make. Really, we're not just saying that to make you feel better, and they didn't mean it, really. On recovering their docking permission, the new Hotbox Squadron was summoned to the Lael's office to explain the influence plummet of the previous week, and the following transcript contains the excuses that they had conveniently lined up. Incident location, Hutton Orbital, next to Eden, Proxima Centauri, past Alpha Centauri. Date and time of incident, 2300 hours, Friday the 7th of December, 3304. Type of incident, security. Type of damage, all of the above. The trouble started when we got to Hutton. Ship logs show that some commanders in the Bringing Christmas to Hutton fleet had hotwired their 3D food printers up to print refreshments on the Hutton run, while others had stashed refreshments in compartments aboard their ship. On arrival to Hutton Orbital, some commanders dropped off their cargo, while others headed directly to His Fluffiness's executive docking port for the traditional selfie opportunity. As the fleet assembled, Commander Malice XR3, who was clearly under the influence of too much prized Turkish delight vodka, reversed his crate past one of the proximity sensors and activated the defense platforms. As security footage will show, his ship was terminated with extreme prejudice, spilling his cargo of crystalline spheres, Momus Bog spaniel puppies, and assorted gift items in close proximity to the orbital. He was later breathalyzed at the Pillar of Fortitude and found to be 19 times over the legal limit for Turkish delight. Shortly thereafter, it is believed that one of the Remlock-equipped Morbus Bog Spaniels floated into the Pad Fleet 3 exclusion zone again, triggering the weapons platforms. When they didn't register a ship encroaching on the pad, they targeted and fired on the next closest ship, my Christmas. After a predictable brief volley of laser fire, my cargo of Christmas goodies was also added to the debris field around the station, creating an even larger, fluffy, sparkly, and beautifully wrapped hazard to shipping. Meanwhile, on board Hutton Orbital, things were not going swimmingly. CCTV footage shows Commander Rampage offloading 8 special Santa reindeer into the loading bay before joining the carnage outside. These plus reindeer, better known as moose, escaped their enclosure and found their way back to the main habitation lever, where they ate 7 sacks of Hutton coffee and cleared out the salad bar at McThargoid's, a Hutton first, before embarking on a caffeine-fueled stampede along the parade and into Progenitor Wolf's office and doing unspeakable things to the furniture therein. When Alvin's zero-G security spaniels finally corned them in Corridor 7B, they further disgraced themselves by carrying out a dirty protest before being escorted back to a secure holding pen. In conclusion, I can only offer my apologies. I won't say it will never happen again. You know how it is. Happy Christmas. Nia Hale, Apology Officer, Team Hotbox. Sorry again.
Good evening, trackers. Atris5060 reporting in from Canon Research with the latest on all things Thargoid. Last week, the Thargoids had targeted OTB Panuri and 63G Capricorni. Well, the good news, trackers, is that we managed to save both OTB and Panuri. The bad news is that we were unable to defend Fortsov's orbital in 63G Capricorni, and as a result, it was damaged. The Pilots Federation has launched a rescue ship to the station to assist with evacuation and repairs, and asks all available commanders to help in this effort. This week, it seems we've encountered an interesting error in our galaxy. The Eagle Eye system is not reporting new targets. Even more peculiar, both the Aegis megaships and the Thargoids have disappeared from the bubble. The Boffins are calling this error 404, Thargs not found. In addition to this, expected change in the Thargoid tactics to lay siege to a system rather than perform a hit-and-run attack has not occurred in 63G Capricorni. This may change from the time this report has been written, but it shows that the galaxy has gone a bit wonky with the new changes introduced by the Pilots Federation. Your mission this week, trackers, should you choose to accept it, is... Wait a minute, I guess real mission this week to... Your missions is to await further instructions on how to engage the Thargoids. Good luck out there, Commanders, for the bug!
There was an unwarranted assault on the news this week by person or persons unknown as Commander Wotherspoon, stalwart of the News Digestion and Galactic Commentator, was forced to write to Frontier Clothing demanding a refund. His zero-G Y-fronts appear to have attacked him, throwing him roughly to the floor, which would have been a little less painful if the floor hadn't been made of stairs. Normally encasing his undercarriage in a manner designed to give a little lift where it's needed, instead it forcibly fired his asp into a rapid unscheduled appointment with a surface, leaving him needing a cushioned donut to sit on and making him wince in the kind of manner that pilots do when watching celebrity streamers try and land on 10G planets with only 2A thrusters. It's unclear at this stage whether the commander is claiming faulty manufacture or sabotage, but we wish him well with his recovery, and remember, a good gusset takes a lot of beating, and high-tech underpants are prone to overheating.
Yeah, Slave Radio has shot itself in the knackers this week, with no one quite knowing who is in charge, except for the Pilots' Federation. In the management equivalent of the Jamaican relay team dropping the baton before Usain Bolt's bit, Commander Edelweiss confirmed he had resigned as squadron leader to spend more time with his collection of flat caps. Just as the committee lowered the access permissions for the digital persona, Commander Lave Radio, a fabrication for the purposes of dodgy accounting and station blame magnet, to... nope. This had led the squadron in disarray, with Commander Whoever being firmly frowned at for demoting the holo persona. Reports indicate that Whoever has an outrageous fear of AI takeovers and cyber rulers and was attempting to save Lave from a life as slaves. As per their charter, the crew of the Orange Sidewinder will be holding a confidence vote in their new leader, and Commander None of the Above is not expected to receive enough votes to stay in position. At that point, a leadership election will be held before Edelweiss will attempt to install the management software again, fire up the emergency holo secretary, and then offer to buy him dinner. And by the way, is that eau de zone he's wearing today? In the rest of the galaxy, it turns out that a million squadrons of just one pilot may have been responsible for some of the outages accredited to the adjudicator, and there has been a resurgence of interest in Craigslist, with adverts such as join the space regents, be part of a 10,000 pilot squadron, 9,999 places available on a first-come, first-served basis, and come fly with me, please.
I can't do this.
Of course you can. You can always do this.
No, really. It's all gone mental.
Oh, give us what you've got, Lou. I'm sure it's going to be fine. Come on.
The custodians have all convinced Drew Peacock to let them hide in LHS 340 and are off their faces on Megajin. The Major General was last seen welding himself inside a limo with a pallet of cider marked for scrapping, crush and melt down. And any time I talk to Graham, he just yells at me through the door. Something about getting coffee for him and his three mates. And look at this report, it's almost a full ream.
Lou, it's fine. You've got your notes face down. You've hidden the summary at the bottom.
Ah, right. I see. That's not so bad then. Let's see. In LP 52539, we're pending election. Our influence is frozen, but it should go live tomorrow, and we need to start winning. And now, we have to win every day, not just overall. In Epsilon Eridani, we're also pending election. That one goes live on Saturday, when we have to make sure we win each day in both elections. That means we need to leave Alpha Centauri alone while we get those elections out of the way. We're already being thrown in at the deep end with two elections. Three might be a bit much. In Epsilon Indy, everyone else is in a conflict state, so the system's effectively frozen while that remains, and any efforts you put in there will basically be wasted. In Barnard Star, Ross 671 and Wolf 25, the faction behind us are a little too close for comfort, so a big push in those systems would help a lot. And in George's Pants, Kakari, Leuton 145-141, PSPLF-LF2 and Wolf359 were comfortable, but nudging up towards 40% would help. All the other systems are fine, especially LHS340. That's always fine. There's been a slight rise due to gin sales, but otherwise, it's perfectly fine. Over in Colonia, we've had some large swings. I'm not sure if that's influence or King Hanky's favourite kind of party. But if we can all concentrate our efforts on Deriso until the pending election in Tier goes live, that would make the Wiggly Snake Master greatly pleased. Keep an eye on the dailies if you can understand the gin-fueled ramblings, and let's smash these elections. Thanks, Alvin, that's over. And speaking of over, over to my darling Norma for the CGs.
Conflicts has erupted between two opposing factions in the Wally Bay system, Wally Bay Constitution Party and Wally Bay Technical. Military leaders from both factions have issued calls to independent combat pilots, offering rewards for their support. More details to follow later.